I'm not Kushdeep Malhotra, but she is. And we collaborated on this, so I was going to talk for a few minutes about our collaboration, and she's going to talk about the more scientific and technical stuff that she understands dramatically better than I do. My name is Harry Hyman. I'm Director of Health Policy at the Satcher Health Leadership Institute at Morehouse School of Medicine. Kushdeep is a former health policy fellow who is now a research instructor and GIS specialist at the National Center for Primary Care at Morehouse School of Medicine. And this was a project we collaborated on as when she was a health policy fellow. The other names, Jeff Graham noted there, was a key community partner, and we're really bringing a different lens to the discussion about GIS. You've kind of heard about it as a tool for identifying information about HIV risk and targeting treatment and targeting populations. We're really looking at it as really a key public health tool that can be used to support community-based advocacy. We have no disclosures. Just to frame what I'm going to talk about, there are really three take-home messages for what we're going to talk about. One is the importance and value of partnerships between academic institutions and community-based organizations, especially in public health, how leveraging a public health tool like GIS with the knowledge and connection with community that our partner brought really created a powerful win-win. The power of GIS and geospatial analysis to inform both advocacy and health policy. And last, from the perspective of training future public health leaders, the importance of experiential community-based experiences. So this project was a partnership between the Health Policy Fellowship Program at Morehouse School of Medicine and Georgia Equality. Morehouse School of Medicine, the Satcher Health Leadership Institute, is really focused on developing leaders, particularly from those communities most affected by health disparities, developing health system strategies and actively promoting and advocating for policies and practices that reduce health disparities and advance health equity. Georgia Equality is a community-based organization focused on advancing fairness, safety, and opportunity for Georgia's GLBT and allied communities. You can see the spectrum of areas that Georgia Equality is engaged in. The focus of our project was with their work related to HIV/AIDS as part of the Georgia HIV Advocacy Network. And that network, which is led by Georgia Equality, was really focuses on many of the goals in the national HIV/AIDS strategy at the state level, really bringing together advocates and providers around the most pressing issues. And this particular project was focused on state-level advocacy, specifically focused on ADAP funding, so the AIDS Drug Assistance Program funding, in 2012. So ADAP, as I suspect many of you know, is part of the Ryan White Program, which is a federal program, but it's administered by the states. The advocacy campaign was targeted to state legislators, aimed at getting state appropriations to address the ADAP waiting list in Georgia, which at that time was one of the largest in the country. Despite the increased need for funding due to the continuing effects in 2012 of the economic recession, increased drug costs, and federal funding to Georgia that had remained flat, that resulted in both a deficit for the current year and a large projected deficit going forward in 2013, which was the budget year that the advocacy was focused on. So the Georgia, like many southern states, is primarily rural. So under the Gold Dome in Georgia are primarily rural legislators. The worldview of rural legislators in Georgia is that HIV is a phenomenon that only affects Atlanta, only affects the Atlanta metro area. You can see here that while there's disproportionate representation of both population and HIV in the Atlanta metro area, there's also a large number of cases throughout the rest of the state, and as you'll see, in each of Georgia's over 150 counties. So advocates felt that it was really important to get the message to key legislators, most of whom were from rural counties, that people living with HIV and AIDS were in every county and, more importantly, every legislative district in the state. So we weren't merely talking about those people, but we were talking about their constituents. This just gives you a sense on the national, through a national lens, of a snapshot of the ADAP waiting list in 2012. You can see Georgia, which is circled in red, had at that point in time one of the largest waiting lists. So that was the problem, and that was where Georgia Equality was very excited to partner with us, particularly to partner with Cushy, who brought a very specific set of GIS skills to this problem.
So, like Dr. Hyman said, the problem was that HIV/AIDS was considered to be a largely metropolitan Atlanta issue and not a statewide issue. And we thought that that was important to fix, so we defined that as our first aim, okay? And we said, well, let's make legislators listen. And how do legislators listen? They don't listen to numbers, they don't read documents, but they definitely respond to maps, was our anecdotal experience. So what we thought we would do is, give them a slightly personalized version of maps, that didn't talk about counties or census tracts or any of that, but legislative districts, so they could see themselves represented on the maps. I was persuaded not to put any pictures, but I did put names. So in the theme of geography, legislative districts fall here, okay? This is a census pictograph of regions where different types of geographic analysis are done. And this was, I believe, one of the first in the state of Georgia that did it on legislative district level. Okay, so again, our first aim was to make legislators listen. Okay, and while we were making them listen, we thought, well, this is something we'll do for the state. We'll create an interactive database which will continually be updated at the legislative district with HIV/AIDS data. So we were fulfilling two things at once. And then we also went beyond legislative districts within the state of Georgia to congressional districts because our idea was appreciated that much. Okay, so I'm sorry, our first aim was to create a database and our second aim was to make legislators listen. Okay, so the idea was simple. We created these maps, we gathered a bunch of citizens who felt very passionately about this issue, and we trained them to use these maps to communicate with their legislators, which is also called advocacy. Okay, we had a citizen advocacy day at the Georgia Legislature. And we had a training session for these advocates where we talked about, what the issue was. We identified who would talk to which legislator based on which constituency they were from. And we also talked about how they could leverage the maps. We made sure they understood the maps that we created and what take-home message they could give to their legislator within the 2 minutes or less that they had to talk to them. Okay. There's 56 Senate districts and 180 House districts in Georgia. It's crazy. And there were 13 congressional districts in 2012. So we specifically targeted the Senate Health and Human Services Committees because this is clearly a health issue. And then we also targeted the House Appropriations Committee because we were talking about sustaining funding for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program. So we knew that this was something that would go to the Appropriations Committee and was a budget issue. Okay. So I was unable to convince APHA to give us an internet connection so I could show you our interactive database, but I did make snapshots of it. But also, just as a sort of comparison, I wanted to show you what the maps look like. So I mapped, like I said, HIV/AIDS rates for 2008 through 2010 by house district, which is what these maps are. And at once, you can see that beyond metropolitan Atlanta, there's lots of slightly darker blue areas in the rural areas of Georgia. And this, if you all know Georgia a little bit, even won't surprise you because this is considered to be the poverty belt of Georgia. Okay. And then similarly, we had Senate district maps, which also sort of communicated the issue very well, and said that, well, again, this problem extends to the entire Georgia and not just Metro Atlanta. But clearly, you know, we were not just going to give them these maps and have them forget about these, so we personalized them a little bit. But let me talk about the database just a little bit. So we created this online database using some ArcGIS templates that are available to us for easy web mapping. And this is what that looks like. I took some screenshots just to kind of give you the idea. And this is a really cool tool for the community to use. So if they ever want to go back and if they ever want to see what HIV/AIDS looks like in their district, they simply have to type in a search box their district number, and it pops up like this. And then it gives them all this information, their representative's name, the House district or Senate district number, and what the rate was like. And then it links to the particular senator or House member's website as well. And then they can also see sort of what the chart of, you know, HIV/AIDS rate looks like in their district. And of course, they can compare their district to any of the other districts. And this is a tool that's available to everybody to use. Right. And again, this information is not only available for House districts, but also Senate districts and congressional districts. Okay, so these are our targeted maps. So what we did was we, like I said, we identified senators, House representatives, and members of the Appropriations and Health and Human Services Committee that we specifically wanted to target with our advocacy, and we made maps specific to all of those legislators. So we put their name on the map. We showed them what their district looked like in comparison to the rest of Georgia, and then we sort of pulled out just their district to give them a better snapshot of what the rates of HIV/AIDS looked like in their district. And these were communicated to the community members that were doing the advocacy. We made sure that they understood all of what was going on in these maps and, you know, were able to tell us what they would tell the legislators that was part of the advocacy training. And then we gave them what we call fact sheets, right, or talking points, which included a little bit of the statistics on the AIDS Drug Assistance Program as well as HIV/AIDS and the dire need for funding to be continued in 2013. Okay, so then the advocacy was my favorite part of this project. These are just some pictures from training. This is one of the members of Georgia Equality talking to one of the legislators. So what were the lessons that we learned? Okay, what was the first aim of the project, or the second aim of the project? We wanted to make legislators listen. And clearly they were listening because they were a little bit shocked that their district showed up in a darker blue and not a white or a lighter blue than they would have expected. So they were paying attention. And we had a little survey which, you know, asked them whether they would consider, after having been given the facts on the map, supporting ADAP funding in the Appropriations Committee. And they had to tick mark whether it would be a yes, no, or maybe. Okay. So our maps had communicated power. We made legislators listen. We were able to focus attention on what was a largely ignored crisis. And then we also demonstrated the statewide impact of the crisis instead of just the local impact. Now, the fact that people were able to compare their districts to each other sort of, you know, again, helped dispel the myth that it was only a local crisis and contextualize the problem for them a little bit better. So communication is key when you're talking to legislators. Have your visual tool ready. The maps also helped us in coalition building. Dr. Hyman talked a little bit about the community academic partnership that we developed, but we were also able to bring the data that essentially was from the community back to them and demonstrate that it could be very powerfully used to inform decision making. Okay. So ultimately, what was the result of this advocacy? And I might point out here that this wasn't the only advocacy that was done. There was a lot of other targeted advocacy as well for 2 years, which included sending tons of letters and postcards and whatnot. And ultimately, the AIDS Drug Assistance Program, or the waiting list for ADAP, was eliminated in Georgia. So we would consider it a win and a victory, but you know, one of the challenges with doing any kind of advocacy, even GIS-based advocacy, is understanding whether it was your advocacy that impacted the legislators or something else, right? And we're in the process of figuring out how we can measure that, and I'm sure we'll come up with an answer. But until then, we were happy with the fact that we were able to communicate the message in a powerful way and have this list eliminated. Okay, so some of the challenges, again, like I said, you know, the variables to measure the impact of the advocacy can be considered soft, variables which are more subjective, so it's slightly difficult to quantify them. I like this quote from the Kirwan Institute, which does a lot of work on participatory GIS. Policy change is the result of multiple actions and efforts, and it can rarely be attributed to just one project or product. And that's really, you know, what we're facing, but hopefully we'll develop methods to solve that. But the take home is that GIS is a very powerful tool in advocacy, but it's very underutilized at this point, and we hope that we can continue to, you know, build more community-based GIS tools like this that will be used for advocacy around the country. And I learned in the meeting yesterday that the state of California actually has produced a similar web-based tool for citizens to utilize to advocate with their legislators. So clearly, this is happening on a national scale. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge all of my colleagues, Dr. Hyman, Jeff, Megan, who wasn't here, and of course the support that SHLI gave me to this project as a fellow. And thank you all for staying and listening.